And okay, let's see. They say confession's good for the soul, so I'll kind of confess something about this. Recently, someone was here, and they were singing, and I saw the girl keep doing this, and I'm sitting back there, and I start praying because I think she's having... she's having some kind of physical attack, and I don't realize that she is adjusting this thing back and forth. So even in our ignorance, and if it gets to be too much, I may just take it off, because God did bless me with a good volume that I believe will carry this morning. It is such an honor and such a privilege, and we're going to pray before I give you the message that God has given me this morning. And in the interest of time, and once again, I ask God sitting over there, please just let me eliminate everything that I can, because I don't want to overload you, and I don't want us to be here unduly time-wise. But I know we've done a lot of necessary things, but one thing is more needful than anything else. And if you're here this morning and you need the Word of God and you need a touch of God, nothing else matters in your life today but God meeting you, and that is going to be the point of us being here today, is that God is going to touch some heart this morning. Close yourself in with God. Try to shut everything else out, and let's see what God has for us this morning. Heavenly Father, as we enter into the Holy of Holies this morning and into that throne room where you abide, I ask you to help us to take our mental faculties and shut off everything and bring ourselves in, close ourselves in with you. Father, and I ask that as you said in Genesis 8:22, that while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, day and night, summer and winter, night and day would not cease. Father, the power of germination that you put in this hybrid seed of the Word of God, I ask you that the anointing of the Holy Spirit would rest upon that hybrid seed. Father, that you would give us the ability to receive that hybrid seed, and the power of germination would cause that seed to germinate within our lives. And Father, that we would not leave in the condition that we came this morning. And Father, we know that you said this is the confidence that we can have, that if we ask anything according to your word, which is your will, we know that you hear us. And if we know that you hear us, we know that we have received the petitions that we've asked of you. Father, we thank you that you're active and alert, that you're watching over your word this morning, and you said not one word that you've spoken would return void, but it would accomplish that whereunto you have sent it. Now, Father, I release, you know that I've done everything humanly possible to prepare my heart, my spirit, my mind, the word you've given me. Now, I ask you to let the anointing of the Holy Spirit take that word that is alive and plant it in soil this morning, that a harvest will be reaped because of it. In Jesus' name, amen. God is more than enough for you this morning. He's more than enough for any situation, any circumstance that you're facing. At the close of the message today, I'm going to ask you to choose one of three categories to place yourself in. The first category is those of you who have pieces of the puzzle of your life that does not match the picture you're trying to put together. You're holding a piece of puzzle here, and you're looking at the life that you want to put together, and this piece of the puzzle does not fit anywhere in that picture. Some of you have broken areas of your life that, apart from God Almighty, can never be healed, can never be restored. But I want to tell you this morning, God is more than enough to heal your broken heart, to restore, to bind up any wound in your life. Some of you have fragments of a life that you're holding. There is no logical explanation. You don't understand it, and you can't explain it to anyone else. And you're ready this morning to give those mismatched puzzle pieces. You're ready to give those broken areas of your life. And you're ready to give the fragments that you're holding to God. And you will acknowledge God is more than enough to take those puzzle pieces, to take those fragments, to bind up that broken heart, heal you, make you whole, and restore your life. Some of you may feel this morning that your family tree, they can make granola cereal from it because it's filled with fruits, flakes, and nuts. Well, I just want to tell you this morning, there is enough family trees in the orchard just like yours. The cereal industry will never run out. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is here today to take whatever you have, heal it, make it whole, restore it, and use it for your good and for His glory. Some of you may have thought or made the statement, I could have been something great for God, I could have done something great for God, if only, and you fill in the blank, had not happened. Well, I want to tell you this morning, whatever you used to fill in that sentence is nothing. The Apostle Paul said it's dung. He said whatever you could have done apart from God, it's nothing compared to what you can do with God. The Word says Jesus blessed, He broke, and He fed the multitudes. He is the God of another chance. Not just a second chance, another chance. He doesn't keep score. He doesn't count the chances. Whatever chance you have, as long as you get up one more time, you can go forward with God. The second category, you know what it feels like to be broken. You know what it feels like to be in pain. And God has picked you up. He's healed you and He's restored you. And this morning, you're going to say, I am willing to commit my life and be available to God for whatever He wants to do with my life, to feed the multitudes, to heal the hurting, to bind up the brokenhearted, and minister to people that are in need. God has blessed us to be a blessing. God has blessed you to be a blessing. The third category, you're broken this morning and you're hurting, but you're not sure you're ready or willing to say, God, here it is. And that's okay. When the pain of remaining the same becomes greater than the pain of change, the shepherd is standing with open arms. When you're ready, He's ready. He'll never turn away from you. And I pray at the close of this service that you're ready to turn it over to Him. Many times God arranges the circumstances of our lives so we will confront the situation that is destroying us. So we will turn to Him and He can move us to a level in Him to be what He has designed for our life. We don't know what is in our heart until God arranges the circumstances. God said to the children of Israel when He was taking them from Egypt to Canaan, He said, I took you through the wilderness so you would know what was in your heart. God said, I knew what was there. You didn't know what was there. He said, I opened up the Red Sea and I took you through the Red Sea and I closed it back up. Lest when you got on the other side and you had to fight the challenges and you had to fight the battles, He said that you would go back to the idolatry and the flesh pots of Egypt. Sometimes God arranges our lives where I can't go back because God don't want me to go back. He wants me to go forward with Him. He's got a new life planned for me. James 1:14 says, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own idolatry and enticed. And when idolatry hath conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, brings forth lust, or brings forth death. I know the King James says lust, but if you do research on that, it is idolatry. I want what I want when I want it. I don't care what God's plan is for my life. I'm going to pursue what I want. Worshiping idolatry, turning to idolatry. You don't pay the ticket going in. You pay the ticket when you wake up in a far country. You pay the ticket when you wake up and your life is torn to pieces. But idolatry will take you further than you ever intended to go. It will keep you longer than you ever intended to stay. And it will cost you more than you ever intended to pay. But God Almighty is waiting this morning with open arms. Whatever is going on in your life, whatever the circumstances are, whatever the situation has been, God is waiting with open arms to tell you He is more than enough. In Amos, the third chapter, it says, therefore, thus saith the Lord God Almighty, as the adversary there shall be even round about the land, and he shall bring down thy strength from thee, and thy palaces shall be spoiled. Thus saith the Lord, as the shepherd taketh out of the mouth of the lion two legs or a piece of an ear, so shall the children of Israel be taken out that dwell in Samaria in the corner of a bed and in Damascus in a couch. The shepherd delivered what he could. He picked up the pieces and he loved what he had left. Whatever your situation is this morning, God is more than enough. God will always leave you with something. He will never, 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 never allow the adversary to destroy everything in your life. This picture in Amos is a snapshot of our world today. Israel was living in plenty, prosperous. The rich were getting richer. The poor were getting poorer. The religious was going through their routines. And God said to Amos, I've got a message I want you to deliver to Israel. Amos said, I'm a nobody. God, I'm not a prophet. I'm not the son of a prophet. I'm not a priest. I'm not the son of a priest. I'm a shepherd. I'm nothing. I can't do anything. God said, you know what? You qualify. He said, I've got a message, and I want you to take it to the hurting. I want you to let them know what's coming. And when it comes, they will be ready for it. The multitudes today have been chased by the adversary. They've been torn asunder. They've got wounded spirits, broken hearts, destroyed lives. They don't always know where to pick up the pieces, what to do with their lives. And the shepherd is saying to you and me this morning, I want you to go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Bring them in. He never one time told the hurting, you go find somewhere. But he said to us, you go get them. You bring them in. Who have you told this week that you have an intensive care unit here, that they can come and find help? They don't have to be triaged. They don't have to wait 3 to 6 hours. There is somebody that knows how to get into the throne room for the need of their life. Thank God I had 2 calls this week, and I called some people, and I want to tell you, I said, I want somebody that can get a prayer through and an answer back. Not somebody that can just get a prayer through. I want somebody that's got in that throne room and got an answer back. The girl got a good report. It may not have mattered to the majority of people in Pensacola. It mattered to her when that doctor walked out and said, you know what? It's fine. God deliver us from ever condemning anyone that has been caught by the adversary and their life has been torn asunder. And if you run into someone who has an arrogant spirit and a condemning attitude, just go read 1 John 1 and you'll find out what one of their sins may be. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "Therefore, if any man, any woman, any person be in Christ, he is a new creature." If you study the original, that new creature means he is a new species. You have had a divine blood transfusion. You have had new DNA, and from preconception to eternity, God Almighty has written your life story. And if your circumstances are in disarray, God may have allowed them to be in disarray to get you in that life He intended for you. The highest form of living is living in the will of God. The adversary will tell you if you come to God, he's going to ask you to do something, going to make you miserable. That is a lie from hell. God doesn't call us to make us miserable. He said in John 10 and 10, the thief, the adversary comes to destroy you, to steal, kill, and destroy. But he said, I am come that you might have life, and you might have life more abundantly. And the Amplified says that you might have and enjoy life. The adversary don't want us to come to God. He don't want us to enjoy life. God said, you come to me, you've never been happier. You've never been more fulfilled. Your life will never be better than living in the will of God. There's 1,000 places I could go in the Word of God, but I want to go to the book of Ruth, and I want to look at 2 people in there. We're not going to cover the whole book. We'd be here till this time next year. Naomi, and you who know the story know, would agree with me that Naomi may have had a few pieces of puzzle of her life that didn't fit the picture she was trying to put together. A decision was made, and in that culture, more than likely, Elimelech never came and said, honey, what do you think about moving to Moab? They lived in Bethlehem, Judah, which means house of bread. They moved to Moab, which means depravity and lack. Pensacola, Florida is filled with families that have moved from the house of bread to Moab. And God is saying to us this morning, go get them. Go get them. She loses her husband in Moab, her 2 sons, they die, and she's left living in Moab. But she hears that God has visited Bethlehem, Judah. She hears there's plenty in Bethlehem, Judah. She hears there's an intensive care unit in Bethlehem, Judah. What did she have left? God never allows the adversary to destroy everything. She had God. Regardless of what happens in your life, God will never walk away. And when circumstances overwhelm you, don't go from God, run to God. She had a determination for a visitation of God in her life. And she had an attitude, I am not living another day in depravity and lack. She accepted that if it was a geographical location, she was going with God. And she had a daughter-in-law who loved her and had a desire for God's best. Let's look at Ruth. She was born and raised in Moab. She didn't know what it was to live in the house of bread. She had always lived in depravity and lack. She loses her husband, resources of her livelihood, no way to survive. But God left her with something. She had God. She had a mother-in-law who mentored her. And God's going to speak to some of you to get involved in this mentoring program. That I'm going to tell you, that's the heart of God. She had a determination to be obedient to God. She had to adjust her comfort level. She had to leave her family, her homeland, the life she knew. The statement I'm about to make, and you can write it in your Bible or just record it in your mind. God never closes a window or a door, but what He opens a window or a door, but it can be scary in the hallway. And if you're in the hallway today, God is more than enough. He's got a door He's going to open. He never allows the adversary to destroy everything in your life. You look at these women. Now, both of these women, we would agree, had enough stuff to quit. If they were looking for a reason, they could have quit. They could have refused to leave Moab. I'm staying right here. I'm staying in depravity and lack. And there are some of you that will have the option of making that decision today. You don't have to. They could have had a pity party every day, run the video of everything they had lost. They could have taken the attitude, I'm not going anywhere. If God wants to bless me, He can bless me right here. And He could have, but their healing was not in Moab. Their provisions was not in Moab. Their blessings was not in Moab. Their handfuls on purpose was not in Moab. Their restoration was not in Moab. Obedient to God. God may want to put you in a position for your benefit or somebody else's. I've got to be willing to say, God, Your will, not mine. Your place, not mine. Your timing, not mine. They had two choices. They could sit on the ash heap of resentment, anger, unforgiveness, or they could get up and go with God. Thank God they decided to get up and go with God. And just an FYI, I don't believe anybody's heard from Orpha since she went back. When the pain of remaining the same becomes greater than the pain of change, we get ready to change. The fragments that you have may not be what you would prefer, but it's what you have. And you can mourn for the rest of your life what you have lost, or you can celebrate what you have left. What God has given you, because God is in your tomorrow. Today is the first day of the rest of your life, and whatever has happened in the past, you'll never live 1 minute there. Maybe a friend's betrayed you. God may want to move you to someone else. And sometimes you have to learn the difference in a friend and a name on a Rolodex. And the Word of God says if we have friends, we've got to show ourselves friendly. God may want to move you to someone else to minister to them. Maybe a child has disappointed you. Maybe you need to be a mentor to another child here in town. How many of you have ever heard of Bill Wilson? I've known Bill since he was 19 years old. I cannot tell you today the name of the deacon that picked him up. When Bill was just a lad and his mother left him on the street corner, told him she'd be back in 3 days, never came back, a deacon at the church going by the street corner, and God says, stop and pick up that scrawny little boy and take him home with you. I have to tell you, I shudder to think if it had been me and God had told me, would I have listened? Would I have done it? But that deacon took him home with him, sent him to youth camp, sent him to Bible college. He lived in a church, has a worldwide children's ministry. Children in New York that started as children are now adults. Hundreds of thousands of children will spend eternity in heaven because one deacon heard the voice of God say, pick up that kid. He's broken. He's hurting. He's been rejected. He's been left. I have a couple that I have worked with for a number of years. Godly couple, wonderful. Raised their family in church, ministered in counseling, teaching Sunday school, teaching the Word of God, whatever needed to be done. They had two children. Their son, one of the most handsome young men you will ever see, has a challenge with drugs, has been in and out of incarceration. They had a daughter, that daughter faithful to God. Anything need to be done, you call Jen. She was available to do it. Jen bought her first house, perfect for her. Lived there several years. On the morning of Jen's 34th birthday, her mother gets a call from the office. She doesn't show up for work. She calls her dad, who lives closer to her. Her dad goes over to the house to discover Jen went to heaven during the night. She had some medical issues, but nothing that should have caused this. What do you do when your only son is incarcerated and your only daughter is dead? How do you pick up the fragments? How do you pick up the puzzle pieces? What do you do? I tell you what they did. We put Jen's house on the market, sold it, got a quick close, and I talked to everybody involved, and I said, we need to get this closed on Wednesday before Thanksgiving. The Apostle Paul said, we grieve, we just don't grieve as those that have no hope. I felt like they needed this off of their plate, and God worked it out. I was talking to them the week before, and we were talking about the holidays coming up, and they said, we're going over to the Mississippi coast and serve Thanksgiving dinner to the families over there that lost everything during Hurricane Katrina. Well, I can tell you immediately, something inside my spirit said, oh my God, this is a God thing. This family, whose family was fragmented, reached out to these families that had lost everything. They didn't sit on the ash heap and blame God and blame everybody else, but they said, you know what, God? You've arranged our circumstances to see what's inside of us. And God, we want you to know we still have our faith. We still have God, and we're still going to go forward with God, and we're going to reach out and minister to these people that have nothing. They have their family, but they don't have anything else. These that their family was destroyed gave to these that had lost everything. That's how God works. That's a God thing. Luke 3:11 says, he that hath, let him impart. God doesn't ask you to give what you don't have. He just asks you to give what you have. In Ruth 4, the people of the town said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day. And they said, there is a son born to Naomi. That new birth didn't come from Mara. It didn't come from bitterness. It didn't come from anger. It didn't come from unforgiveness. It came from pleasantness, because back down the road, she chose to follow God. When the adversary tried to destroy her life, she took what God had left and she went forward with God. And that new birth, which was in the lineage of the Son of God, and the entire town said, this is a God thing. In Matthew, the 14th chapter, Jesus gives the illustration of 5 loaves and 2 fish, and they fed 5,000 men plus the women and children, and we know they didn't have 2 or 3 children then, they had tribes. So you can do the multiplication. And then it said they picked up 12 baskets of fragments. In the 15th chapter, it said they had 7 loaves and a few little fish. They fed 4,000 men plus the women and children and picked up 7 basketfuls. It doesn't take very much for God to start the process in your life. But whatever is left, God said, I'm not, he told those disciples, he said, you gather up the fragments. You gather up the broken pieces, because I'm not going to let one fragment be left. I'm not going to let one broken piece be destroyed. I'm going to use this that I have blessed and I have broken, and I'm going to use it to feed the multitudes. I want you to close yourself in with God, because I know this morning that there are people sitting in this auditorium this morning that you've got puzzle pieces of your life and it don't match the picture of your family. You got broken areas and you don't know how to get them healed. And there's pieces of you that have got fragments. You don't know what to do with that fragment. But I want to tell you, God does. I want us to bow our heads, and I want you to ask God, which category are you in this morning? In the first category, you acknowledge something is broken. A piece of the puzzle doesn't fit your Kodak moment. And you're holding a fragment that you've retrieved from the adversary that you need God to restore. And you can be saved, you can be spirit-filled, and still be broken and fragmented. You can go to heaven broken and fragmented. You don't have to. God is more than enough this morning. You may be in the second category, and you know you've been blessed. You know you've been broken. You know you've been healed. You've been restored. And you're willing to make yourself available to God, to be used of God, to gather up the fragments. I would like for you to stand all across the auditorium this morning. It's going to take action.